RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received President of Algerian Constitutional Council. State companies ready to face ASEAN Economic Community. Gubernur Basuki creates application to absurd state officials. Well, now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo received President of Algerian Constitutional Council Murat Medelsi at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung stated following a limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office to discuss the plan to implement a light rail transit LRT project. Anung noted that President Joko Widodo was chairing the meeting when Algerian guests arrived at the Merdeka Palace. Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs Darmin Nasution remarked that a limited cabinet meeting was held to discuss the plan to realize the LRT project. The LRT, which will run on all affected rails in Jakarta, is expected to serve as a feeder for mass rapid transit MRT. The construction of the first route of the LRT is expected to start this year. A deputy at the Office of the State Minister for State Enterprises, Wahyu Kunchoro, said the state-owned enterprises are generally ready to face the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, 2015. The implementation of the free trade area of ASEAN Economic Community by the end of 2015 would sharpen competition in regional market. He said the state companies, which are run professionally, had been prepared to meet competition in the regional market after the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community. Hundreds of state companies spread in 34 provinces had been focused on infrastructure development. State companies also had been prepared with improved good corporate governance, GCG, through training to improve the quality of human resources and mastery of latest technology, he said. He added that momentum of the commemoration of National Day is expected to give new spirit to achieve greater progress. ASEAN Economic Community should not be discarded as a threat to the national business. On the contrary, it would serve as a challenge to launch market expansion in the region, he said. The target for state revenues in dividend from state enterprises is set at 37 trillion rupiah in 2015, or higher than the previous year's target of around 31 trillion rupiah. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that he wants to launch an application that can observe the world report of state officials. He said that the application is currently in the making process. Governor Basuki explained that the application would show world reports of various Jakarta state officials and could be accessed by public. Once the user enters the state official named, there will be a link connecting it direct to the Corruption Eradication Commission, Governor Basuki said on Tuesday night. Through his application, the public can give assessment towards state officials. He also added there are plenty of state officials that fix their wealth report. The Jakarta administration strongly supports anyone who wishes to create an application to facilitate the life of Jakarta residents. The application can be accessed through a cellular phone and will be integrated with the Jakarta Smart City System. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Navy Marine Corps successfully concluded the Save Our Littoral Life movement by planting 1 million coral reefs to mark the 70th anniversary of Indonesian independence on August 17. He said he believed that the coral reef planting campaign had helped support the government's Marine Access Program. Under the Save Our Littoral Life campaign, the Marine Corps had set a target to plant 1 million coral reefs over an area of 100 hectares spread across 51 locations and through 243 planting sites. The replanting program began in May 2015. President Joko Widodo said two-thirds of Indonesian territory comprises of waters that must be protected and preserved because they have natural resource potential that could promise a better future and prosperity for the public. Moreover, the Marine Corps held an underwater flag hoisting ceremony on August 17, with Rear Admiral Taufikur Rahman officiating as the inspector and Lieutenant General Sulaksana acting as commander. From May to July 2015, Marine Corps had planted some 400,000 coral reefs over an area of 30 hectares at a number of beaches, including Labuan Beach in Lamongan, the Bama Beach in Sidoarjo, and near the Pramuka Isle on Seribu Island, as well as along with the coast of Kelapa Rapid, Kuala Ketapan, Selagian, and Lembong. High public interest of Malaysian society on Indonesian food with their distinctive flavor lacked to hide interest of local entrepreneurs to invite businessmen or restaurant owners from Indonesia to work together and to open a branch in Kuala Lumpur. Indonesian government appreciated as a form of business development. Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno, said, there are many Indonesian culinary entrepreneurs that expand into Malaysia. It is expected to bring positive influence. However, not many entrepreneurs who carry out formally joint commitment like that by restaurant Bambu Desa in Kuala Lumpur City Center. In Cokit, there are many Indonesian restaurants with its typical food from Indonesia and are well known in Kuala Lumpur, but many of their businesses are community business. In the future, it is expected that such kind of business can provide jobs for citizens in Malaysia. It is a bit enough, formal business is a bit enough, but the other small businesses in Cokit, such as a cigarette, bottle tea, herbal, and all Indonesian products are sold there. So many Indonesian products enter the market there. Well, I wish that many more Indonesian products are exported to Malaysia or have their franchise in Malaysia.
Yang seperti inilah saya menginginkan bisa banyak lagi yang terjadi, apa yang ekspor lah franchise-nya ke Malaysia-nya.
Meanwhile, Indonesian culinary entrepreneur Arif Wansadita said on Tuesday he has opened Indonesian restaurant in Malaysia since 5 years ago. The interest of Kuala Lumpur people in Indonesian food is quite high. Arif Wansadita claimed his restaurant has descended with the want in Indonesia. His target from joint commitment is to open 20 branches in Malaysia within the next 5 years. The last item, heavy fog and bad weather hamper rescuers Wednesday trying to evacuate bodies in eastern Indonesia where a passenger plane crashed into a mountain over the weekend, killing all 54 people on board, officials said. The plane slammed in the mountain on Sunday, but it took rescuers almost 2 days to reach the wreckage because of the rough forested terrain and bad weather. Henry Bambang Sulistio, the National Search and Rescue Agency chief, said bad weather was still hampering the operation and the rescuers would now try to carry the bodies out. The airline crisis center official in Jayapura Sentani Airport, Budiono, said all the passengers were Indonesians. Like many Indonesians, Budiono goes by one name. Indonesia has had a string of airline tragedies in recent years. In December, all 162 people aboard on Air Asia Chat were killed when the plane plummeted into Java Sea as it flew through stormy weather on its way from Surabaya, the second largest city, to Singapore. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to commentary. Today's edition entitled The Impact of Bomb Blast in Bangkok Towards Tourism Sector. A bomb blast with a type of trinitrotoluene or TNT hit Bangkok City on Monday evening, August 17th. The bomb, which was carried on a motorcycle, exploded near the Erawan Temple, which is a famous one of Hindus in Bangkok. In fact, the temple or the shrine is also frequently visited by thousands of Buddhists every day. In Bangkok, the shrine is located in the business district and is surrounded by three shopping centers. In addition to Hindu and Buddhist community, the shrine is also a tourist attraction, frequently visited by foreign tourists. At least, it is estimated that 20 people were killed and approximately 123 people were injured in the terror tragedy targeted to foreign tourists in downtown Bangkok. Citizens of China, the Philippines, Hong Kong, and Indonesia become victims of the bomb blast. Injured victims are among the citizens of Singapore and Taiwan and one Indonesian national. Until Tuesday, the Indonesian embassy in Bangkok, Thailand has been seriously looking into relevant information about two Indonesian citizens, a husband and a wife, who are victims of the explosion. The Indonesian embassy has received information from the Indonesian victim family that one citizen, with the initial HI, lost contact after the incident occurred. There has been no claim of responsibility for the bomb blast until yesterday. However, based on the location of the explosion, the bomb blast was oriented to foreigners who traveled to Bangkok. According to Thai Prime Minister Prayuth Chan-o-cha, the bomb blast in Bangkok is the worst incident of attack ever hit Thailand. Meanwhile, Deputy Prime Minister of Thailand Prawit Wong Suwon perceived that the bomb blast near Erawan Shrine might frighten foreign tourists to come to Bangkok. The incident will bring about major impact on Thailand's tourism industry and the economy as a whole. In fact, Thailand relies heavily on revenue from tourism sector for foreign exchange. Thailand much depends on state revenues from tourism. The contribution of the tourism sector reached 16.7% in 2013, or far exceeding the automotive industry, which contributed only 9.09%. In fact, tourism is second gainer of state revenue after the agriculture. The blueprint of Thai tourism sector was written in the 11th National Economic and Social Development Plan, Ministry of Tourism and Sports. In the blueprint, it was said that the tourism industry should be managed professionally by updating the business trends of travel and hotel. The same thing was experienced by Indonesia in the Bali Bomb 1 in 2002, and the Bali Bomb 2 in 2005, that made the number of international tourists decrease dramatically. Well, listener, that's the commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from August 19, 1945, the day of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Department. After the proclamation of Indonesian Independence Day on August 17, 1945, exactly on August 19, 1945, the first cabinet was established. One of ministries or departments that was formed, namely Foreign Affairs Department, by installed Mr. Ahmad Subarjo Joyo Hadisuryo as the first Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister. The establishment of the Foreign Affairs Minister close to the day of proclamation of Indonesian independence was actually the right way, since the struggling of independence was not only done by weaponry effort but also by diplomacy effort. On early independence era, the main task given to the Foreign Affairs Department, such as inviting sympathy and support from international communities, support solidarity in various fields, and gain recognition of Indonesian independence, as well as hold conferences and agreements. On August 19, 1980, plane crash of Saudi Flight 163. Saudi Flight 163 was a scheduled passenger flight of Saudi Arabia that caught fire after takeoff from Riyadh International Airport, now the Riyadh Air Base, on the flight to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, on Tuesday, August 19, 1980. All 287 passengers and 14 crews on board the Lockheed L1011-203 star, registration HZ
AHK died after the aircraft made an emergency landing back at the Riyadh airport. At the time, the accident was the second deadliest single aircraft disaster in history after Turkish Airlines Flight 981. It was also the highest death toll of any aviation accident in Saudi Arabia and the highest death toll of any accident involving a Lockheed L-10113 anywhere in the world. It is also the deadliest aviation disaster that did not involve a crash on impact or mid-flight breakup. Listener, we conclude today in history on August 1991, coup d'etat toward President Gorbachev. On August 19, 1991, a group of Soviet military under the leadership of Gennady Yunayev committed coup against President Gorbachev. The perpetrators of the coup eager to end the Gorbachev reforms and hinder breaking up of the Soviet Union. At the time of the coup, Gorbachev was in Krim Islands at the edge of the Black Sea. Boris Yeltsin, who was the president of the Russian state at the time, with the support of the West and the people, silenced the coup. This made Yeltsin has a greater power and the collapse of the Soviet Union more quickly. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voy Green. Today's edition entitled Illegal Logging Threatens Aceh Tamiang Mangrove Forest into Extinction. Mangrove forest in Aceh Tamiang Regency, Nangro Aceh Darussalam, is endangered due to irresponsible logging by those who turning it into charcoal. As reported by Equatorial.co, Deputy Chief of Security Forces in the Forest Management Unit of Aceh Region 3, Alfian, recently said that the illegal logging happened almost every day, even in the rehabilitation areas. He said the rangers found dozens of fishermen boats containing 60 tons of mangrove woods. Those woods were cut illegally in Pusong Kapal Village, Surwai District, Aceh Tamiang Regency. The mangrove woods were very young in the protection zone. The protection zone or green line itself is an area located 1 kilometer from the coast, which is obligatory to be preserved. Meanwhile, the Enforcement Unit Chief of Aceh Region 3 Forest Management Unit, Amrin, said that the illegal loggers have received a warning and then were permitted to leave. According to Amrin, the enforcement is through guidance to the residents. Afterwards, if there is anyone who logged the forest, they will be prosecuted and handed over to the police. The illegal mangrove woods, according to Amrin, became the main material of charcoal production. Amrin said the loggers admitted they gained 80,000 to 100,000 rupiah a day, or around $7 from the mangrove woods sales from charcoal producers. On the other hand, local residents reported that the mangrove loggers are not from Aceh Tamiang Regency only. Even most of them came from Pangkalan Susu, North Sumatra. The spokesman of Tamiang Peduli NGO, Matsum, explained that the Pusong Kapal Village residents have great awareness on the importance of the mangrove's existence. They actively planted and kept an eye on the rehabilitated forest. Matsum added, the residents asked the forest management unit to arrest the mangrove thieves and prosecute the businessmen who fenced the stolen woods. Ecologically, the mangrove protected the coastline from abrasion, accelerated the beach expansion from sedimentation, and prevented seawater intrusion in the land. Besides that, the mangrove is also a home for various marine biota, a place to shelter and breed for various birds, mammals, reptiles, and insects, and a microclimate regulator as well. Well, listener, that was Voy Green. Listener, here is the headline from several national newspapers published today, Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily. In its headline, writes about two Indonesian citizens, the victims of bomb blast in Thailand. The Indonesian government informed two its citizens victims of bomb blast in downtown Bangkok, Thailand, Monday, August 17th night, who were married couples, Harmawan Indrajaya, 61 years, and Leo Ching, 61 years. They come from Jakarta and were traveled in Thailand. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, said Tuesday, both were in the location explosion when it happened. Meanwhile, Coordinator of Social and Cultural Affairs at the embassy in Bangkok, Subandrio, the Indonesian embassy, asked Indonesian citizens who traveled and lived in Bangkok should avoid crowds now. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia writes in its headlines about BBS agrees food data to be evaluated. Darmin Nasution's concerns about an inaccuracy of data of the food, so that affecting government policy. Obtaining positive response from the Statistic Central Agency, BBS. Deputy of Production Statistics of BBS, Lumaksono Adi, in Jakarta on Tuesday said, please be evaluated, but it must be thorough, because it is not a single BBS data. There are contributions from the agencies or the Ministry of Agriculture. While Republika, in its headline, writes about managing the Pioneer flight. Plane accident Trigana Air PKYKN with flight number IL-257 in Papua Bintang Mountains is a certain killing all passengers. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, in Jakarta on Tuesday said, the accident will be used to evaluate candidates for revamping Aviation Pioneer, especially Ground Papu. According to Luhut, there should be checks on flight procedures, particularly in Pioneer Aviations. This examination includes instrument landing system and aircraft inspection. Listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo received President of Algerian Constitutional Council Mourad Maldesi at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung stated following a limited cabinet meeting at the President's office to discuss the plan to implement a light rail transit LRT project. Anung noted that President Joko Widodo was chairing the meeting when Algerian guests arrived at the Merdeka Palace. A deputy at the office of the State Minister for State Enterprises, Wahyu Kunchoro, said that state-owned companies are generally ready to face the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community AEC 2015. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that he wants to launch an application that can observe the well report of the state officials. He said that the application is currently in the making process. The Indonesian Navy Marine Corps successfully concluded the Save Our Littoral Life movement by planting 1 million coral leaves to mark the 70th anniversary of Indonesian independence on August 17. The Marine Corps said that it believed that the coral leaf planting campaign had helped support the government's marine access program. High public interest of a Malaysian society on Indonesian food with their distinctive flavor led to high interest of local entrepreneurs to invite businessmen or restaurant owners from Indonesia to work together and to open a branch in Kuala Lumpur. Indonesian government appreciated as form of business development. Indonesian best to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno said there are many Indonesian culinary entrepreneurs that expand into Malaysia, as expected to bring positive influence. Heavy fog and bad weather hampered rescuers on Wednesday trying to evacuate bodies in the eastern Indonesia where a passenger plane crashed into a mountain over the weekend, killing all 54 people on board, officials said. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Rahma. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Tahuri musical instrument. Stay tuned. Listener, that was the rhythm of Maluku typical musical instrument. This instrument is unique. Besides, its shape does not look like a musical instrument. If it is blown, its sound sounds loud. It is Tahuri, Maluku typical trumpet. This instrument is made of triphthon shell. This kind of shell is very good for wind instrument. The middle of the shell is perforated as a place of airflow with monophone sound. Playing this instrument is the same as playing trumpet. Tahuri, this shell trumpet developed among Maluku people who live in the coastal area. This art developed in around 1958. At that time, Tahuri was played accompanied by a number of Maluku traditional instruments in the form of orchestra, which consisted of children and teenagers. This musical instrument was also played to call people or traditional leader together at meeting room or baileo. Interestingly, the number of tahuri blowing has its own meaning. For example, one time of tahuri blowing marks death. Besides that, this shell flute serves as the means of communication for sign of danger. Traditional ceremony to call ancestors and also to call wind when sailing. Listener, seashell which is used to make tahuri comes from various regions in Maluku such as Saumlaki, Dobo, Aru, and Banda Islands. To make the musical instrument of Maluku, the seashell should be cleaned first. After that, the shell is perforated by using drill. To get certain tone, it depends on the size of the shell. Small shell will produce high or loud tone, while big shell will produce low tone. Tones in this musical instrument is matched with other instruments such as flute and pianika. Listener, this Ambon typical musical instrument is still played in various areas in Ambon. One of them is in Hutomori village, Ambon Island. Until now, tahuri is still played in almost all traditional ceremonies in Maluku. Because of that, for Maluku people, this traditional instrument has a sacred value. Besides in Maluku, tahuri is also known in some regions like in Biak Regency, Papua. Like in Maluku, in Biak Tahuri is usually used to call people and sometimes to accompany dances typically Papua. Listener, that was our Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tahuri musical instrument. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Ulang Tahun, or in English means birthday, so stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and also expressions that relate to our today's topic. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Ulang tahun. Ulang tahun, which means birthday. Hari ini. Hari ini, which means today. Yang ke-18. Yang ke-18, which means the 18th. Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun, which means happy birthday. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Hadiah. Hadiah, which means present. Dari mama. Dari mama, which means from mom. Dari papa. Dari papa, which means from dad. Jam tangan. Jam tangan, which means wrist watch. Sepeda gunung. Sepeda gunung, which means mountain bike. Undang. Undang, which means to invite. Besok malam. Besok malam, which means tomorrow evening. Memasak. Memasak, which means to cook. Makanan Italia. Makanan Italia, which means Italian food. Pasti enak sekali. Pasti enak sekali, which means that must be really delicious. Datang. Datang, which means to come. Sampai ketemu. Sampai ketemu, which means see you. Now we give you an example of a conversation entitled Ulang Tahun or Birthday between Kiki or A and Ari or B. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Hai Ari, hari ini kamu berulang tahun bukan? Hai Ari, hari ini kamu berulang tahun bukan? Which means, Hai Ari, it's your birthday today, isn't it? B. Ya, ulang tahun yang ke-18. Ya, ulang tahun yang ke-18. Which means, yes, it's my 18th birthday. A. Selamat ulang tahun, semoga panjang umur dan sehat selalu. Selamat ulang tahun, semoga panjang umur dan sehat selalu. Which means, happy birthday, wish you all the best. B. Terima kasih, Kiki. Terima kasih, Kiki, which means thanks, Kiki. A. Kamu dapat hadiah apa dari papa dan mama kamu? Kamu dapat hadiah apa dari papa dan mama kamu?
which means, what present have you got from your mom and dad? B. Dari mama, saya mendapat jam tangan. Dari papa, sepeda gunung. Dari mama, saya mendapat jam tangan. Dari papa, sepeda gunung. Which means, from my mom, I've got wristwatch. From my dad, I've got mountain bike. A. Kapan aku diundang makan? Kapan aku diundang makan? Which means, when will you invite me to dinner? B. Besok malam, mamaku memasak makanan Italia. Besok malam, mamaku memasak makanan Italia. Which means, tomorrow evening, my mom will cook Italian food. A. Wah, pasti enak sekali. Wah, pasti enak sekali. Which means, wow, that must be really delicious. Aku pasti datang. Aku pasti datang. Which means, I'm coming. B. Baiklah, sampai ketemu di rumahku. Baiklah, sampai ketemu di rumahku. Which means, alright, see you at my home. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a male singer, Anugrah Aditya. He is famously known as Adit, who was born in Jakarta on May 12, 1982. Aditya is also a song composer and the singer of pop R&B. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song by Aditya entitled Be Mine.
Pertama kali berjumpa, ku merasakan yang berbeda. Ada getaran yang ku rasakan, namun ku tak bisa jelaskan. Mungkin aku terbuat olehmu, kau buat hatiku jadi serasa terbang menuju angkasa. Ku ingin jatuh di pelukan. Maybe I want you to be mine. I want you to be the girl of my eyes. Maybe I want you to be girl of my life. I want you to be mine. I want you to be the girl of my eyes. Maybe I want you to be girl. Sadari, ku terlalu terburu-buru. Aku pun pahami, mungkin kau menjaga dirimu. Maafkan aku terbuai olehmu, kau buat hatiku jadi ku ingin jatuh di pelukan.
ada yang ku ingin jatuh di pelukan. Baby, I want you to be mine. I want you to be the girl of my eyes. Baby, I want you to be girl of my life. I want you to be mine. I want you to be the girl of my eyes. Baby, I want you to be girl.
Single of Aditya entitled Be Mine. Aditya began to be introduced since he collaborated with 10to5 in the song I Do in 2004. Then Aditya released his single for a compilation album for a film, Me Versus High Heels, in 2005 entitled Tak Ingin. His first album, Be Mine, was released in 2008 under Independence Music label of Sold Out Record. Be Mine is the first single from the album, followed by the second single entitled Sangat Rindu. In 2010, after he joined with Taz Management and Aquarius Musikindo, Aditya then released a mini-album entitled I'm Yours. In the album, Aditya recycled a song entitled Juwita, which previously popularly sung by the late Krisha, along with his own song compositions. Listener, let's listen to another song entitled Hingga Akhir Waktu from Aditya. Tunggu kau, hanya kau You've just listened to the song Hingga Akhir Waktu, taken from an album I'm Yours that was nicely arranged by Andi Rianto, edited by guitar play by Andri Dinut. In 2012, Aditya then released a single with electronic dance music nuances entitled Go Away, which was composed by Bambi Noor and himself. In 2013, Aditya back to an independent career after cooperating with Aquarius Musikindo and Test Management ended. This was signed with releasing a single, CNTK or CNTK, in the same year, and Bertahanlah in 2014. Aditya also back to prepare his studio album, or LP, which is scheduled to be released in 2015. In the second album, Aditya presents his album more optimistic and dynamic. He also hopes the songs in this second album can be enjoyed by Indonesian music lovers. Dear listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to two songs by Aditya, entitled Go Away and Bertahan, from Anugrah Aditya. Enjoy the songs and happy listening.
Go away, stay away from my way.
Kau selalu mengatur hidupku. Urus saja dirimu dulu sebelum mengurusku. Di mana kebebasanku? Di mana kebebasanku? Ku tak mau selalu. Please just go away, go away. Stay away, stay away. From my way, from my way. Please just go away, go away. Stay away, stay away. From my way, from my way. Please just go, 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 go away. Go, 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 go away. Go, 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 go.
My way.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.